There's so much on my heart. I have to find what the Lord wants me to use this morning. I thought about singing you a song that I just wrote Thursday, but when I was giving kids a test, the Lord impressed it on me and wrote it. But right now, I don't feel like it's maybe the right time to do that. We'll get it some of these days. This morning, I was taking a shower. I thought about what I might be preaching on, but it changed in the shower. But I was reflecting back on the funeral service of Sister Ruth, and I had told Brother Sonny after at the graveside that I didn't really get to preach everything that I would like to add, because I thought there was other things I should put in there. But that's the first time I've ever been to a funeral that they had a time limit on me, because they had to have a time limit on getting to the cemetery, because they had so many burials that day that they had to schedule it out, and so that's why we had such an early service. And maybe I shouldn't tell this, but since the service was at 9:30, and they said, well, we got to leave by 10:30 to get to the cemetery by 11 o'clock, they was kind of scrunching my time down, and with all the things they kept adding in there that they wanted to do, and I went and told the funeral director, because it didn't look like they was getting ready to get started by 9:30. I went and told the funeral director, if you don't get me in there by 9:30, we're not getting out here by 10:30. And they got to moving and got things going. But what I was thinking about was, and those of you there, I'm not going to repeat what I was trying to preach then, but there was just so many more things that I would like to have added. But maybe the Lord just had that worked out to be just right. But I was not thinking about what I preached, just thinking about what I didn't get to preach. And somewhere along that way, I had thought, Brother Charles knows who I'm talking about, one of the deacons at Buffalo Springs, at Paul Shoulders, heard him say many times, I've heard other people say it, but the way he said it just stuck with me. He talks about when preaching, or he said, when a visiting preacher comes, or any preacher had been preaching, he said, he preached about Jesus, and that's what I like, because it's all about Jesus. And I've heard him say it to me, it's all about Jesus. And I got thinking about that, it's all about Jesus, from Genesis to Revelation. It's all about Jesus. And Lord impressed the scripture on me that I want to read this morning. I've used this scripture as a basis for several sermons over the years, but the thought that I have this morning about it is quite different. In the second chapter of the Philippian letter, Apostle Paul starts in the fifth verse saying, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto the death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, for the glory of God the Father. In the ninth verse, it says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. I want to read just two other verses of scripture. One found in the book of Isaiah, in the 9th chapter and the 6th verse of Isaiah. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and the name shall be, or his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Now, this is what his name would be called, and these are descriptive names about him. Then we find in Luke's account of the gospel in the 1st chapter, the angel speaking to Mary says in the 31st verse, or beginning there, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Amen. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom, or of his kingdom, there shall be no end." But the angel said his name shall be called Jesus. Now, Jesus was a popular name in that day. You know, we have a lot of popular names, a lot of children names, same thing. Jesus was a pretty popular name in that day. We find at least two other people in the New Testament named Jesus. They're mentioned. And so it wasn't that uncommon for it to be Jesus. It just wasn't a Jesus in their family. There wasn't that name that they could tie to a family name. But see, the reason that he was called Jesus was not what the name sounded like. It's what it meant. That his name shall be called Savior. Because that's what Jesus meant in the original tongues. That he would be a Savior. And that his name would be above all names. He would be all of those descriptive names of Isaiah. It would be every descriptive name you can think of anything good. Because see, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And that his name is above every name. Now, oftentimes we hear it, and I preached too, about that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. You know, at the name of Jesus. Because it all centers on him. The whole Bible centers on him. It's all about Jesus. And the beginning, when God had created the world and he had rested, and that just means he ceased from his labor, that he had completed everything that he needed to complete. And he let man start on his journey. And he found out that man didn't have any good companion. The animals weren't companion enough. And so he made him a woman out of his rib and put them together. And they were there together in a fashion that was without sin. Now, something I find interesting too in this passage that I read back up here, it said that he was made in the likeness of man. Speaking of Jesus, he had come from heaven by the Spirit placed into Mary and conceived there, and he took upon the likeness of man. But we find back in Genesis that man was created in the image of God. And so Jesus just did the reverse. He came and took upon himself the image of man. All of the characteristics of man he had, with one, he didn't have sin. Because the sin is passed down from the father. And since the seed of Mary was not impregnated by an earthly father, but by the heavenly father of God himself, there was no sin to be entered into there. And so he took the form of man. He took the likeness of the nature of man, with the exception of sin, because that couldn't be passed down. When Jesus entered the scene, he had no sin about him, just like Adam had no sin about him when he was created, because he was in the image of God. It was by choice that Adam, through the influence of his wife, through the deception of Satan, had sinned and caused sin to be added to the nature of man. But Adam's sin came because of his choice. Jesus came without sin and chose not to sin, and died the perfect sacrifice that we might be saved through him. Because God had already set it up that there would be no forgiveness without the shedding of blood, we're told in the Hebrew letter. And so animals had to be sacrificed. God made the very first sacrifice himself when he had to slay an animal. That doesn't tell us in those words, but he took the skin of an animal to make clothes for Adam and Eve. And in order to get that skin, he was through with creation. He didn't create anything else. He didn't just create a skin or got them some clothes off the rack to put on them. But there had to be a slaughter of animals to provide them a covering. And that covering and that skin was a representation of the covering of Jesus Christ onto all those that would believe throughout time. It's all about Jesus. And we can just go through the scripture, and I'm not going to try to tear the whole scripture up talking about it, but just look time after time. We find that Moses came as a representation of Jesus that would deliver the people out of bondage. And when they got to the Red Sea and they was trapped there, the mountains to the sides of the sea in front of them, and the armies of Pharaoh coming up on them to destroy them, that Moses was able to say, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." And that was representative of Jesus, because when a person is lost and separated from God, they have nowhere to go. There's nothing they can do on their own. They're sitting there helpless, and they have to stand still when they put their trust in God and see the salvation of the Lord as he comes upon them. So it's all about Jesus. We find when David went out there as a little 16-year-old boy, about that age anyway, and he went up there to take some cheese and bread to his brothers, and they saw that they had a stalemate going on, and the Philistines had this great man, a big man over there that we talked about here just a few weeks ago, but he was there, and David just looked at the situation, and he was wondering, how come Israel's all backed up about this man? Because they said, "Well, just come out and send your best man out and fight him, and whoever wins, that one wins the battle." And David was dumbfounded about this, because he looked at the situation and he said, "You know, who is this man that defies the army of the living God?" Because see, it was all about Jesus. Jesus can defeat any enemy. And so David just went out in faith in God and was able to slay the enemy. And then the Israelites had the courage to go out and to overtake the Philistines and run them back to their own country and kill many of them. But it's all about Jesus. Everything that we can find throughout the scriptures gives us representation of what Jesus is about. The Old Testament was full of signs and symbols. It was pictures and all of the things that are given there. We can start and we can take and we can look at them and see how it's telling the story of Jesus and about what he can do through the prophets, through the Psalms, through the writings of Solomon, through all of the law that is given. It's all about Jesus. It all reveals him. Jesus, that's why he said, "I didn't come to destroy the law," because he would have had to destroy the story about himself. But he said, "I came to fulfill the law." He said, "I am the law." I remember when Jesus was reading the scripture there in his hometown after he had made some trips back in his early ministry. And he went back there and he began to read scripture about the coming of the Son of Man. He said, "This day is this fulfilled in your eyes." That they had the opportunity to see what the Old Testament was talking about when it was talking about the coming of the Messiah, because he was the Son of God. He was the Savior of the world, and he had come at that time. And so it was just a fulfillment about who Jesus is. It's all about Jesus. When Jesus began to call out his disciples, and he called them one by one, sometimes two at a time maybe, but he started to bring them unto himself, and he said, "You know, to leave your fishing nets back there and you go fishing after men. You follow me." That was the invitation. You follow me. What was it about this man that they just left what they was doing? They made their living by fishing. They made their living by tax collecting. They made their living by the various trades that they might have had. But they all just laid it down and followed after Jesus just because he said, "Come, follow me." That's a pretty simple message. in the annals of salesmanship, that's a pretty dumb message, because people just don't do what you say do. You got to go through some kinds of manipulating to try to get people's minds right. But all he did was came up and he said, follow me. Because see, he had something going for him that wasn't just in the mind. And that's what we tried to talk about at Sister Ruth's funeral, that there was a heart, I believe, not just a mind belief. Because see, all of these men that he called out had already been saved. They had already been baptized at the hand of John. And so when he came and called, just like Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. And so when he came calling on them, they knew who it was. They knew there was a connection there. They didn't understand it all at the time. But when they heard his voice call, they stepped out. And Sister Brenda, you take that for what it is. And when God gives you a voice to do something, you step out and you go with him. And he'll bless you for it. Of course, when Jesus was crucified and he was laid in the tomb, and they didn't know what to do. Peter was one of the first ones. I go fishing. So he was going to go back to what he had done before, because he was comfortable with that, because he didn't know what to do. And so he decided he'd go back fishing. And we had a Sunday school lesson last week about that. Here Jesus was looking at them out there fishing, toiling, struggling. They couldn't find the fish. And he told them, just throw your net on the other side. And they pulled in a great number. I think it's 153. Linda asked me about that going home, because I wasn't up here. So an answer that I have for that, why it was 153, that there's people that have studied the Sea of Galilee, and you know that there's 153 species of fish in the Sea of Galilee. He got one of each one of them. And so it just showed that he could get them all. It didn't matter who they were. That at his voice, that people could hear, people could respond, people could answer, because he has an invitation that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And when a person is ready to humble themselves before the Lord and put their trust in him, he'll save their soul. And he was showing these men, I believe, that you go out and you cast your nets out, you cast the gospel out, that gospel net, to reach out to people, and you'll catch all manners of fish that are out there. You'll catch all manners of people. It don't matter what color they are. It don't matter what nationality they are. It doesn't matter what culture they are. That there's a message for the hearts of every man, boy, girl, woman. That everyone out there can hear my name. That they can hear the call. Because it's all about Jesus. After Jesus had ascended back to heaven, the apostles started their journey. The Acts of the Apostles tells about that. And Jesus had said, now, I'm going to go away. I'll come back again someday, but before I do, I'm going to send you a comforter. Somebody to help you out. Somebody to do some of the work, to carry the chore for you. And you just rely upon him, because he'll guide you into all righteousness. He'll show you the way. So he said, you just go wait in Jerusalem. He didn't say go out and start preaching to everybody on the street. He didn't say start going from town to town. He said, you go wait on me. Because see, one of the things that sometimes we fail to do is wait on the Lord. We want to get ahead of him sometimes. But he said, you go wait. Because see, he knew the timing was right. Because when he ascended, it was 10 days before Pentecost. And Pentecost was a 50-year celebration, and people came in from all the countries around, the Jews that came in to celebrate that one special time. That was a once-in-a-lifetime trip for them. And so the town was full of people from all sorts of backgrounds and all sorts of places that they came in. So he knew it was the right time. God had that plan from before the foundation of the world. And so they waited on him and was in one accord, the Bible said. They prayed. They met together. They had a business meeting. The church was already there. Some people say it didn't start till the day of Pentecost. Jesus set it up in his ministry, and it was already in operation then. And they was holding business meeting to replace Judas. And we find That they continued on, and they waited, and in the early morning hours, at least about 9 o'clock in the morning, all of a sudden there's something happened there, something that hadn't happened before, that there was a wind that came in, at least it seemed like that, a mighty rushing wind, the Bible calls it, and the Spirit of God came upon them, the Comforter had come, and like cloven tongues, it went on to each one of them, it sat down and it baptized them, or immersed them in the Spirit. Now they still had the Spirit in their heart for salvation, but this was the power of the Spirit that was come upon them to give them the power that Jesus said they would need and that they would get in order to carry out the commission that he had left for them to do. Because without that spiritual power in the church, the commission would not have been able to be accomplished, to go into all the world to preach the gospel, get people saved and baptized, and to teach them all the things that Jesus said. See, it's all about Jesus. So the Spirit came to be a witness for Jesus and laid upon them, and they began to rejoice. Now, it doesn't say that they shouted, but I believe that they surely did, because people going around the streets said, what's going on over there? Something happening over there. Let's go see about it. There was some noise being made. There was some disturbance among the people in the streets, and some went and looked at them and said, well, these folks done got drunk this early in the morning. They're carrying on in such a way. But Peter then got up and began to preach, and the preaching went out, no doubt, into the streets, and it went unto other people, and the other apostles, no doubt, started preaching. But Peter's message is given to us in the Scripture. I said, men and brethren, these are not drunken as you think they are. Oh, I tell you what, when the Spirit of God comes on the scene, you might look like you're drunk sometimes if you get to shouting and rejoicing in the Lord with his presence in our lives. To those that have a discerning heart to know about it, they know it's because of the joy that's unspeakable and full of glory that comes to our heart, and we're able to express it sometimes in those shouts of joy, or in that laughing of joy, in that time of seeing the Spirit work in our lives, and that's what was happening there. He said, these men are not drunk as you suppose, but he began to tell them then, and he went back through some of that Old Testament, and he began to say, it's all about Jesus, about this man Jesus, about this man that was crucified. Now most of the folks that was hearing them then, they probably hadn't even heard about it, because that had happened a couple of weeks before, just about, and they were just in town for a big celebration. They may not have even heard about Jesus, but Peter went ahead and told them about the Old Testament and about how it pointed to Jesus, and how Jesus came and gave his life and died on the cross and was resurrected. And he said, now we're witnessing what he said would come to pass. They began to listen, and that began to stick in the hearts of some folks, and they began to seek the Lord, and they began to get saved, and it was just in a small place that they were, but the message started spreading out through the city, and before the day was over, there was 3,000, the Bible says there were about 3,000 that was added unto the church. That doesn't mean they just got saved, but they got saved, and they went on with the commission and baptized them, and they were into the church then also, that they became a person that had that same power given to them by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit worked in that power in the early church until it's not Paul. I believe in the writer of Hebrews said, until that which is perfect has come, or that which is complete, he's talking about the Scripture, because see, they didn't have any written Scripture except the Old Testament, and that's what they had to read to look to Jesus. Remember what Philip did with the eunuch? He went down and he preached to him Jesus out of the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. He preached to him out of the Old Testament about Jesus. And that's what they were doing. They were saying, this is the fulfillment of the Old Testament in Jesus, because it's all about him. And so they began to preach, and then it was added more. It wasn't but just a little while after that, 5,000 got saved at one time. It wasn't until a little bit after that, Brother Don Curtis said, they were multiplied, which means it's more and more and more that was added unto them. We don't know the exact number, but by the time the destruction of Jerusalem came and it was scattered, it is estimated that there was at least 250,000, if not more, members of the church there in just a short time, a relatively short time, that had come about, because the power of the Spirit was there with the church, and then it went out, and as the Scripture was finished on a number of years later on. Then those special gifts were done away with as people that had the power died out. But then we had the perfect gospel. We had the message of God all the way to Revelation, John being the last writer of the Bible. And when that was completed, it was done. No more to be written because we had all that we needed, and we got all that we need today because it tells us about Jesus, because it's all about Him. Amen. The last invitation of the Bible is inviting people to Jesus. To come unto Him. That the church gives invitation. Those that are saved give an invitation. But before that, even the Holy Spirit gives the invitation to come to Jesus, because it's all about Him. Because His name is above all names. His name is greater than all. And every knee shall bow at His name. Those of us that are saved, we've bowed in our hearts before Him already. And we'll gladly bow before Him when we're in His presence. Those who have denied Him, those who have rejected Him, those who have said no to Him, those who said that there's nothing to Him, they will have to bow before Him in glory. I'm just talking about in the judgment, not glory. They will have to bow and acknowledge who He is. Some of them will put up an argument. Jesus said that not every man that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in. There's going to be plenty that's going to be saying, well, Lord, look what we did for you. We did it in your name. We tried to do things for you. They tried to earn themselves a place in heaven. But He'll say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Because see, it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what everybody else does. It doesn't matter what name they do it in. If they don't have Jesus in their heart to start with, it doesn't matter what they declare outwardly. Because it takes something inwardly before a person can be ready for eternity. Because see, it's all about Jesus. That's why that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. See, all of these other people that claim to be holy people, all these other people that claim not to have a connection with God, all these people that claim that you look through me to get to God, or whatever it might be, their system might be, it's of naught, because if you don't go through Jesus, you don't have it. Salvation is solely of Jesus. It's all about Him. And that's what the book is about. It's about Jesus. And that's who we look to. If we need help, we look to Jesus. It's easy for us to go ask somebody else, what should I do? And sometimes they might have some good advice to give you. They might have some good support to give you. But the best source to go to is Jesus, because He still from heaven speaks to our heart. He lets us know those things that we need to do and how we need to do them. Sometimes we complicate it and we mess up the communication because we're trying to put some part of ourselves into it. But it's all about Jesus. And when we, at the name of Jesus, turn to Him for guidance and help and strength, then He can supply that for us if we're willing to receive that. I've told this, I guess, when I was called to preach, that there were some difficulties in the church at that time. And one of the deacons got up, and I knew what he was going to do. And I actually expected somebody else to be the one to initiate it. And I was surprised when he got up. But I knew exactly what he was going to do. And I had close acquaintances on both sides of the issue at hand. And I just sit there on the front seat on this end there, looking up at Brother Gregory. And I just closed my eyes and said, Lord, if there's something I can do to help this situation, let me know. And immediately it just came back to my heart. I said, get up and tell him you called to preach. And immediately I said, I can't do that. I didn't like the answer of God. I was ready for a second opinion. I wanted something else. And I went 6 weeks before I told him. And all sorts of manner of bad things happened. I'll never get into that. During that time before I gave in to telling my call to preach. And I often wondered what would have happened if I just jumped up right then and told what the Lord told me to tell him. Because it may have changed the whole outlook of people and the whole demeanor of the situation. And it might have at least caused coming together of the people. Some, I don't know what would have happened. Don't know how the outcome would have been. But I know that I asked God for something. He told me what to do, and I didn't do it. And it went on just like I was afraid it would. Caused a split in the church. And people left out. But I failed on that regard. And I use examples like that in my own life. because I fully believe that it would have been a different result had I done right then what God wanted me to do. So when the Lord moves on you, it's all about Jesus. It's not about us. It's not about what, you know, we can do or not do. It's about Jesus. If God wants that done, the Spirit impresses us on our heart to do something, then we do that. No matter how insignificant it might seem, no matter how great it might appear to be, just do it. And let God get the honor and the glory. And let the results come. Because it's all about Jesus. All about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. That's my message. I'm going to stop right there. It's about Jesus. What better thing for it to be about? Because He's our Savior. He's the one that died for us and gave all that He had for us. But He gave it looking at the glory that was to come for fulfilling what God had expected of Him and what He had agreed in the portals of heaven before the foundation of the world. And if we just had that attitude that God has promised us everything that we need if we just do His will. And let us just put ourselves in His hands and see what can be accomplished. Not what we can do, but what God can do with us and through us. As Brother Gregory used to say, and I say it pretty regularly myself in my prayers, Lord, let me just hide myself behind the cross. Lift up the Christ to the cross that all men might be drawn to Him. We're insignificant, but yet God chooses to use us. So when it chooses to use you, or when He chooses to use me, let us do what He wants done right then. And let's just see what good things can happen. See what God can accomplish. Let's have a song. And if there's somebody here that's lost, if God speaks to your heart right now, it's time for you to get saved. Right now's the time He's calling you. He said, come to me. Right now's the time you need to respond, to call upon Him. And see what will happen. You just trust Him one time, see what will happen. Because see, that's what it took for me. I just had to trust Him one time. I sought Him for a year. And I believed He could take care of my soul. But I didn't trust Him to take care of it. But when I trusted Him in complete belief and just said, there's nothing else for me, just Lord, help me. He did. He did. Let's have a song. If there's somebody here that's lost, there's a good place to come. You don't have to come to an altar, but there's a mighty good place to come and start seeking the Lord. And we'll be glad to pray with you. Go ahead and sing.
I'll stand, turn to page 123. Sing the first, second, last verse. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that
Thank the Lord for that. Let's name the song real quick. Thank the Lord. And gone to the retirement center, just to live in the center on Monday. And preached last week. And I was looking in the songbook there, and I was looking for a song, but I just happened to notice it. And one song was "Thank the Lord." Another, "Thank the Lord for your blessings." Another was "Thank the Lord." And I'm just looking, I thought, well, there's a lot of "Thank the Lord's" in there. And I thought of several songs that have that in it. And it just, I said, well, thank the Lord for that. And got home later that day, and something came across my mind. I said, well, thank the Lord for that. And I thought, that's kind of catchy. I wrote there and thank the Lord for that. And it sat there until Thursday morning, and was given a test. And I usually carry something to read, and for some reason I didn't put in what I normally carry to read. And I just pulled out a tablet, and I said, well, thank the Lord for that. And started to sit there and wrote it all except for one line. And the test time was over with, and I was collecting papers, and I had one word, and I wanted to make sure I got in the last line, and I just wrote it down. And then I got to my next class, started giving them tests, and pulled it out, and I had a completely different problem using that word, but a little different problem, so thank the Lord for that. And that's like, how many times does God do something for us? That's about every minute or so. We can just say thank the Lord for that. And anyway, oh, it's good. Be in the presence of the Lord. Anyone have anything in your heart?
Brother Maverick, I'd like to tell the ladies of the church that Tuesday is our ladies' fellowship, and that Marie Pitts from Fairview in Woodburn is going to be speaking. I'd like to encourage Brenda to do what the Lord wants her to do. It's so funny how the Lord uses us, and I'll see if I can say this correctly. When the Lord impresses me to do something, it's when I'm quick to do it, because I know He's in it, and I know He'll hold my hand all the way through it. And I actually pray for those moments. I just love them. They're just, it's what I live for. It's where I get my most blessings, is when He lays something and I don't have to doubt. I know I need to do it. And but also, I need to learn to wait on Him, and that's really hard for me. I want to get in there and get done kind of thing. And, you know, Lisa came to me recently with thought, Lord had laid something on her heart. You know, I want to pick it up and run, let's go. It's okay, let's. And then she kind of said no. A couple times she said no to me. I'm thinking, okay, this isn't my vision. This is her and the Lord's vision, and I need to step back here and let that flourish, because He's working on her. You know, and now Brenda, He's working on Brenda. And we need to do these things. Because if we don't do these things, see, if He's impressing Brenda to speak at the fellowship, then I'm getting confirmation that we need to keep doing that. And so we all need to do each little thing. And I need to be okay to step back and watch it happen. He'll just let me know if there's somebody who needs me. He doesn't need me at all. But I love to watch it happen. It's amazing. I need to learn to wait a little bit more. But a funny thing about him, I'm having a first today, everybody. Today's my first. I'm having my pastor to lunch at my house. Now, for me, that's very hard. For Lisa and Brenda, it would probably be very easy. But for me, it's hard. Cooking's never been my thing. These ladies can attest to that. They bake my food for many years now. But my mother-in-law taught me that you're supposed to be hospitable. You're supposed to have your preacher over for lunch. You're supposed to have people over in your home and feed them and let them know you love them and you care for them. So, it's funny how he does that. So I can stand up and speak, but buddy, to have somebody in my kitchen is scary. So it's amazing how he works. And I thank you for that, because, you know, and look at that beautiful girl back there. I've sat up here the whole time just thanking God that Carrie's here, because I love her so much. And I want her to feel what we felt today, because it's here every Sunday. And it's what will carry her through. And Christy back there, if they'll just realize that they'll come to church and they'll just let that sweet spirit speak to them, and they'll just flourish in God's word and grow, that He will just hold their hand, just like that song says, all the way through. All the way through life, and life will be so much easier. But if you fight that, doesn't that happen, honey? You make it miserable. And those are our choices. And it just answer prayers for her to walk through the door and be here. And I mean that. I know that we're all praying for our youth in church, and because we love them with all that we are. And we want them to have what we have. Because it's not just about salvation. It's just the start. Salvation is just the start. There's so much more. I thank God for my salvation. I do. I thank Him for everything. And for these churches, I love all y'all pieces. I just love you.
Amen. I bless you.
Brother Baggert, I'd like to make some announcements. First of all, I'd like to say that I got all that off my chest. Boy, have I been struggling for probably almost a year now with all this stuff. But I, unlike Cindy, the Lord has to kind of jerk me up and keep on and keep on and keep on. Because I keep saying, oh, I can't do that. Kind of like Moses, you know, I can't do this stuff. But I'm going to make some announcements of the things that I would like to do. Now, I'm not taking over and telling you, this is what we're going to do. Any suggestions you've got, tell me. Anything you want to do, let's do it. But the Lord has put on me to kind of lead this. First of all, I'm going to have a breakfast. And I know that not everybody can be here on Saturday morning, and it breaks my heart. I don't know if Terry realizes it or not, but he's been put in charge of frying sausage. Bart is in charge of doing the eggs. Jean is in charge of the coffee. She doesn't realize that. And I think there is a lady here that has got a reputation of making fantastic pear preserves. If she should have some in her pantry, I would love to see them on the table. Now, if anybody wants to do anything, tell me. We'll do it. Otherwise, Terry and Bart's going to do some cooking. Lisa and I are going to kind of stand around and tell them what they're doing wrong. But I want to do that. And I hope everybody wants to. And it's not just for this little group here, it's for everybody. Bring Susan, bring Joanne, bring Lisa, bring anybody, bring your family. Let's just all get together. We may have a revival breakout, who knows? Jean and Lisa have been talking about having a cookout. That was on my list too in the summer. We can all get together, we can have a cookout, we may have another revival. In September, towards the end of September, I'm taking this on myself. This is what I want to do for all my brothers and sisters. I want to have a weenie roast at my house. I like doing that. Now, I'm not going to roast your hot dog. You can do that yourself. But we'll have hay bales. We'll have a lot of fun. We will have a good time. That's what I want for all of us to do. We might can sit around and tell our testimonies again. Who knows what God's going to lead us to do. There's chili suppers. We can invite, there's the singing, inviting other churches. There's just so much we can do. But I ask for anybody's help, any ideas. Let's do it. Let's be close. Let's love one another. And Cindy inviting you over, it's how I was raised. You know, my mom would sometimes have 30 people at her house. Then the next Sunday we'd go to somebody else's. I miss all that stuff. It's closeness. It's closeness. And speaking at the fellowship, yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I've always had a really special feeling for Dylan and what he's going through. And the last thing he said in his sermon that he preached here, when he said, I know I'm different in my preaching. And that touched me so much. And I want Dylan to know, yeah, he's different. But Dylan, you're needed. You're needed. And that's something I've got to speak on. And I don't know when I can do it, but I'm praying over it. I want everybody to pray. And I hope that I'm not overstepping my boundaries by suggesting we do this stuff. I hope I'm not, but I just feel the need to do it.
All right. Amen. I can think about breakfast too. I'm glad for that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait. I've got a date kind of in my mind, and I'll be talking to you. Lisa will be talking to you. So. Barnaby talking to you. And I know yesterday I got on Bart's nerves so much because he was sitting in his chair trying to read his book and I wouldn't shut up. And I kept telling him, okay, I'll hush now. And about a couple of seconds later, I'd start up again. And I just talked all afternoon. And then I talked this morning and I feel good.
Anytime we can get together, if it's for an enjoyable time, but you know, anytime we get together, the Lord comes along too. And we can use that.
Oh yeah, the Lord's invited.
The Lord's invited.
Visitations, I think, on Tuesday, and always came to our house. And he and Mama would always get in an argument. Because Mama said, I don't believe the way you do. So the last time he came, I think he got really upset with her and called her and said, you're just a hard shell Baptist. She said, well, maybe I am, but I don't believe I'm cute. Now, I don't know what a hard shell Baptist is, but apparently he didn't like her. We didn't go, but well, I went to Sunday school a couple of times, but it wasn't right, so she would let us go.
All right, one
more. Mayor, I'd like to appreciate your message. Okay. Welcome, church. It's been good to be here this day.
Brother Charles and I went a long way to meet. We met in Alaska quite a number of years ago. We both gone up there for the organization of the church, or started at that time. And met up there, didn't live very far from each other, but never even met. Part seven. All hearts, minds clear.
today. Thank the Lord for the Spirit that has helped fund us today. We ask the Lord to let these things we're led to do be done in peace and harmony with your Spirit. We ask the Lord to give prayer requests today. All the sick, for those that need you, Lord, we ask you to be with them. We ask the Lord to watch over us and give us guidance and help us come together again. Above all things, Lord, we ask to bring conviction among the lost. They might be saved, and Lord, give us burden for the lost. Pray for them. It's prayer request in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I think so. You can hear me.